Welcome to Cambridge Inside Out. My name is Robert Winters.
And I'm Judy Nathans.
Hi, and today is October 19th, 2021. And we are now officially 2 weeks away from the Cambridge municipal election. So, you
know, oh, yeah.
Time is tight. It's starting to get that way. And, you know, and we'll talk more about this later on in the program. But
sure.
What was I going to say? I've completely spaced out.
Because of baseball.
Heads filled with baseball.
Yeah.
This is such an odd year in that we didn't previously have early voting and
for a municipal election.
Voting. So all of the candidates in literature are typically, you know, if they're still waiting, they better move quickly. All the candidates.
I've been getting stuff in the mail. I got something from.
Yeah, and I'm seeing people walking
Joe
down
McCork the
street.
The first time. Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen people walking down the street on Inman Street, walking to the drop box to deposit their ballots already.
Yeah.
So it's already happening. So if there are any candidates out there who are kind of lollygagging around, you know, you got to get your stuff out there quick, you know.
Yeah, well, they're knocking on doors or going to forums. I mean, so far the forums that, you know, they've all been virtual. Maybe one was substantive, but otherwise they're just like get 2 minutes to speak and that's it. Like the CNA one.
I had the opportunity to open
I saw
Cambridgeport, the Cambridge.
I know
one.
You were good.
Yeah, they just wanted somebody to just basically give the lowdown on how.
But did you hear Patty Nolan ask how long it was going to be? I think
she's always looking to try and get the upper hand in everything.
I think she immediately challenged
how much are you going to let that guy talk? Okay, go ahead. I don't hate you.
But no, that was helpful.
To hate me.
But then it was just I thought there'd be some back and forth or what, but I guess they didn't. I know they just talked about who they were and that was it.
When they would do the ones for Cambridgeport Live, like over in Erie Street in the past.
Yeah, I used to go to those.
The candidate would sort of give their spiel, but there was always at least a little bit.
Well, somebody would answer a question. You had questions. Yeah. There's no ability to have questions, even chats, anything. No.
Honestly, I mean, I know the Mid-Cambridge Neighborhood Association Forum, which has always been kind of a real hit among candidates and people, voters. Because you actually would have people around a table.
Well, and that's this week. That's Wednesday, right?
Yeah, but they are having an online thing, but it'll be, I think, just the
same thing.
The Cambridge Neighbors Association will just basically present topics and questions at them, and then the candidates come
well,
back.
Well, forget
it
that.
It was just
I
difficult
don't need
to
that.
Pull off, you know.
So the same thing with
Yeah, they couldn't even really mimic the previous one. I'm not sure what the format will be.
Because that's the next night.
Yeah,
so,
you know, they're kind of going.
I can only attend one, so I thought I'd attend the Wednesday, but I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, no, it's kind of making me feel a little more responsibility for putting candidate pages out because, I mean, not that I haven't felt some responsibility.
Yeah, but even that, it's more that you want, like, I watched the mayoral debate last week, and there's one actually tonight at 7. I think it's tonight. Between Wu and John
George,
Keller did it. And he asked questions. I mean,
he's
substantive.
He's a top interviewer. Yeah.
I know.
That's John Keller, yeah.
But that, of course, only two people, but still.
Yeah, and it's always been difficult when you've got a whole big beauty contest of 19 to 23 candidates.
I know.
Sort of going one after another.
What I know.
You ask them the same question for the sake of uniformity.
But I seem to, But back in the day, we've always had at least 19, 20 candidates. But when you had open forums, it was more back and forth.
Yeah.
At least the moderators were asking,
Yeah, I mean, I think it's what people would want, ideally. So to whatever degree they could make it happen, they tried.
I just think they can't. But I think part of it is the virtual,
The virtual
aspect
world,
of it. Yeah.
And actually, I was going to say something on that anyway, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody was asking about some of the controversies that are happening up in North Mass Ave right now about bike lanes, bus lanes, and whatever.
Oh, that's, yeah, same
and,
Mass
and
Ave.
I was actually asked about, you know, these amendments to this bicycle safety ordinance.
Right.
And I was forced to go back and read my own writings about it at the time.
Yeah.
Where there was a city council meeting that was right when the things were shut down and I can't remember whether there was anybody at City Hall or whether it completely shut down there. And what I wrote was, it's time to basically put off really substantial things because there's no way that you're going to get any kind of fair back and forth in this environment, you know? And mm-hmm. and then what did they do? Some of the advocates basically pushed through certain amendments in the height of the pandemic when there was really no back and forth at all. And now, a year or something later, when they're trying to implement some of the things that have to do with the bicycle safety ordinance, some people are going like, what? What are you talking about? What? Yeah. What? When was this voted? What? You know?
Yeah, it's true.
So, I mean, I can show you plenty of examples of where you know, maybe the councilors think they're engaging in a valid public process. But no, it really isn't. Ridiculous.
It's only the people that care about an issue that can have it, whatever time, you know.
Yeah, I mean, people.
And how many emails they get, not, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Know. So, you know, so democracy by social media, which to me is not democracy at all.
Yeah.
So, anyway. But anyway, let's talk a little bit about baseball or anything. Yeah. I noticed I've got my caps and my pennants.
I know. Is the game at 8 or 7 tonight?
You know, actually, I don't know. I'm
all right, I'll find out.
Admit.
Yeah, all right, you keep talking. I'm going to look it up right now.
But, you know, those of us who followed the Red Sox for a very long time.
808.
We're, you know, we're sort of accustomed to sort of resignation to some degree to sort of say, oh, well, I guess we did our best. Oh, well, maybe next year, right? And this year, especially because we were really kind of sagging for a while.
Yeah.
But then we, you know, we kind of came back at the end and then we did that 1 year playoff. And then I got to tell you, that Tampa Bay thing was just fabulous. You know, the five-game series.
Oh, but wait, what about the wild card with the Yankees?
That's right. The one-game wild card.
Yeah, you know? That was amazing.
All of this stuff has been incredibly uplifting for any real Red Sox fan.
I know.
These last few games here where we dropped the first one to Houston, and then we just
closely.
Closely, but then we didn't just come back. We came roaring back.
Two grants. It's never been done in postseason.
Yeah. So anyway, I gotta say, some of my students are actually being very forgiving with the fact that I haven't finished grading their exams because I'm sorry. I've been watching baseball games.
I had to watch that was actually the football, which actually that was pretty exciting too. I have to admit, I watched some of that. That would they almost beat the Dallas Cowboys. But anyway. Yeah. So that's exciting. Okay.
So it's exciting. And, you know, again, I'm still of the mind that, well, if it works out, it works out. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. I'm going
to
be happy.
No one expected them to get this far.
Right. So to me, every win, is a plus, you know,
one game at a time.
I take nothing for granted. Even when we're ahead 9-0, I take nothing for granted.
Oh, right. Cause they came back and it was 6, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No, it was 9-3. Really no, whatever. I don't forget what it was. Yeah.
Now, not strictly related to baseball, but you know, I think on our last program we were speaking about the dedication of Tin Toomey Park on East Cambridge, you know, Ron Rogers Street.
Yes.
I think we should just speak a little bit about this here. I'm going to pop over here to a first we'll take a look at one of my favorite signs from the baseball.
My gosh.
Yeah, only because it's funny.
Only to people that understand that's about,
how you know the Astros were implicated with Alex Cora when Alex Cora was
the sign. That's stealing. Funny. That's
but that
funny.
Sign that says I've had a really good sign, but the Astros stole it. I thought that was actually pretty good comedy.
All right.
Yeah. So anyway, one thing I did want to mention though, and unfortunately my image isn't loading and I can't explain why. Maybe I'll try and sort of figure it out from
what if you click on you can't click on the left on where it says
well we'll try but I'm going to just sort of step out of it and
okay.
And maybe we'll come back to that if I can get that to fly. But the it is not only a beautiful park, it is also becoming very popular.
I was there on the weekend.
Yeah.
It's got so many different areas where you can climb, where you can roll, where you can, it's just beautifully designed.
Right. And as you were pointing out before we went on the air that come this winter, they factored in this magnificent slope there.
Yeah,
and
safe.
I think that's going to be very popular for sledding.
As long as we have snow, as long as we have some snow.
I think if it's cold enough, maybe they can bring in the snow blowers if necessary.
Well, that's true. You could make snow there easily.
You could do that. You know, and just create.
No fake snow. Sorry.
That's fine.
No,
that's
Dubai fine. Or whatever they do in fake snow.
Yeah. Now, as you mentioned, One of the items that actually was a presence on the city council meeting last night. I was mentioning earlier about how they're trying to implement right now these combination of separated bicycle facilities and dedicated bus lanes on North Mass Ave.
Right.
I think whether it's from Porter Square out to the Alewife line, I heard it was from Dudley to Everett or.
No, I think it's
whatever.
Whatever. Yeah, it's a long stretch. Yeah.
It's a stretch. And I want to just say about that stretch there is that, again, I'm sometimes skeptic about some of the separated bicycle facilities, but what I've always said was that they make sense whenever there is a significant speed differential between cyclists and motorists. Unlike the portions of Mass Ave closer to Central Square, where that's just not the case,
true.
Up there North Mass Ave, it has in many respects functions as a bit of an arterial roadway. And, so I've actually felt that there was some need for some kind of separation there.
Yeah.
No, I'm not sold one way or another on what's necessary there, but I think what people are, a lot of things are upsetting people. First is like pretty take significant less parking. I think a lot of the businesses around there, they're not all dependent on people walking there from the neighborhood.
That's right. Yeah.
Some people are coming from far away actually for some of the very specific type of businesses that are out there. So there's a lot of concern about that. So removal of parking, addition of you can't drive in that lane because it's for buses only.
It's crazy.
Always grading. I mean, I know that whenever I'm going over to Somerville over the Prospect Street Bridge, it bugs me that you've got one half the bridge is basically you can't go there. And
what's going to be on River Street too.
Right. But buses run there, but I've been there, it's always just been completely empty.
The Mount Auburn that meets Putnam.
There's a practical reality. If you're coming in on Mount Auburn and Belmont Street, where the dedicated bus only lanes are, people don't even notice they're coming upon it, and they'll go, and they'll be driving in it for a while before, including me, where you go, I guess I'm not supposed to be in this one.
Water
I
gotta move
out of here.
Okay.
So it's kind of ambiguous, but and it's not like short, you can put in post.
Yeah, but what about the difference in that part of Mass Ave is the median? And I hear a lot of talk about the median taking it down, leaving it. And what are your thoughts on that?
There was a time before Craig Kelly joined the council, part of his campaign in his winning election, because he'd run before, was save the median, because the city had plans as part of major sewer work and whatever to do a complete reconstruction of North Mass Ave, which would have eliminated the median for most of that stretch from quarter out. And then there were some delays for a variety of reasons, and there was this organized campaign to save the median, right? They weren't going to obliterate it completely. There would be places where they would put in dedicated turn lanes and then pedestrian islands in a few places, whatever, but as a continuous strip. By the way, let's understand the reason why the median is there. It sort of replaced where the trolley line used to run. Trolley line.
Oh, that's true.
Where
else is there a median? I'm trying to think now.
In Cambridge, really, there isn't. I mean, Memorial Drive for
where does it stop on Mass Ave before you get to Harvard Square? Between Porter and Harvard, I forget. Is there a median?
In my mind, it's really from Porter on out, though. There is. And then actually,
right. That's the only one I know about.
But also from Porter down to the Cambridge Common, right?
That's right. Well, that's what I'm asking you about. Is there a median there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So anyway, I could go either way on the median. I don't personally find it to be, I mean, it's one thing if you're doing a mid-block crossing and you need refuge from the traffic, but the city's official position on that is, well, you shouldn't be doing mid-block crossing. But the distance between some blocks along that stretch is sufficiently long that people are gonna do it anyway, and you just have to acknowledge that, So you have to make it.
Could that have been a bike lane? I'm being stupid, but I don't know. Could that have been?
There are some places where that's exactly what they do. Now, of course, if they were to carry out, and they almost certainly will, because we are in a period now where the city doesn't really intend to modify things in spite of the fact that they did announce a public meeting coming up, I think.
Yeah, but that, I don't know. Those are pretty, those are all voters, 500 names. Really?
You know, honestly, we're in this weird period now where city process says, we're going to have a public meeting so that we can say we had enough of a public meeting, that there was enough of a chance for public input, even though we're not going to actually let it affect anything other than maybe the color of the stripe.
There have been public meetings about this, no?
You know, that's debatable. And I think that's kind of part of the problem.
All right. You know, that's a good point. Because it all happened, the pandemic.
And, you know, and the city's official position these days is often kind of the tune like, well, the city council passed the bicycle safety ordinance, which mandates whenever there's a major project, we must do this. We have no say in the matter. So they basically said, kick it to the city council, you know?
Well, and it definitely is a voter's ordinance, issue.
Not us.
But you can see.
I'm still of the mind that that ordinance is not really a legally enforceable thing. But, you know, but they'll argue with me to the death, I'm sure. But anyway, it is a big deal. And, you know, and whither it goes, who can say? You know, it is intertwining itself with the municipal election campaign.
Oh, very much so. Yeah.
You know, the bicycle safety group pretty much said, sign the pledge, agree that you shall make no changes, nowhere, no how.
And a couple of the councilors really stuck to that, and they don't want to even hear about the whole safety.
They will not hear at all. And some of the candidates who are otherwise endorsed, you can take a pick of which slate you want, but, you know, each slate has some candidates who were, you know, diehard signed the bike pledge, and others who say, well, I'm not going to sign it because I think it was Paul Toner and Joe McGurk in particular said, well, we all believe in bike safety, but we also feel that you have to balance all sides and you got to talk to everybody. And that never really happened. And I'm not going to sign a pledge that says as a city council, I refuse to listen to anybody.
Were they the only two?
I don't know if they're the only
two. Where is that pledge? Is that, that's not like really a slate, but I'd like to see who signed that.
Yeah. I mean, that group is sort of putting it around because they are, I don't include that sort of amongst my slates only because they are a single issue. Only one issue. So I'm not going to kind of sort of think of it as like they were some civic organization or something like that, because they really aren't. But, I did find it kind of curious that they are now actually targeting three strong challengers based on the fact that they chose not to sign the pledge. Therefore, do anything and everything you can to defeat these people. So they're basically trying to Craig Kelly them. You know,
where do you see this? I don't see this. Where do you see this?
I saw this in the literature from the Cambridge Bike Safety people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Three strong challengers. Okay. I have to figure out who those are. Yeah.
You know, it's very, I don't know. I don't like the tenor of some of the politics these days.
You know,
it's sort of like my way or the highwayism, a little touch of slander actually happening in some other quarters. I've seen that. You know, and it, you know, I'm not going to say which organization, but anybody who knows me knows which one it is, are using tacitly allowing slander to take place by somebody who's a big supporter of theirs. And then they, you know, look at the social media, they all go, yes, approve, nice, thanks, good. So they say, well, we didn't say anything. But
I'll have to talk to you later about that because I don't know about that.
Yeah. So anyway, I've been following Cambridge civic and political things for a long, long time, and
I know
there has always been a general policy of courtesy, with rare exceptions over the years. If you knew something about somebody's private life, you would never put that out in a political campaign. Yeah. You know. So anyway, I can't say that I'm happy with the direction we're heading in, but maybe it's just a little touch of, you know, Trump.
Well, what we talked about, it's like Trumpism or whatever is happening, you know, even though we all supposedly are Democrats or whatever, I feel like a moderate Republican sometimes in Cambridge, it's crazy,
and I'm just a centrist. As I always say, I'm a radical centrist.
I think a centrist would be almost as like what a moderate Republican is.
Well, sometimes you have moderate Democrats, you know, moderate Republicans at least could go.
I think we need a parliamentary system like they have everywhere else in the world. I like that.
Yeah, well, you know, actually one of the points that I made actually when I was introing ranked choice voting in Cambridge elections for the Cambridge Work Group is just to say that, you know, if we think we're somehow special and because we utilize proportional representation.
Just look at around the world.
Look around the world, proportional representation is far more the rule.
That's how they have, they have to compromise with their coalitions and all that. I mean, I watch enough Danish and other series about politics. It's like.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And they run into the same kind of problems we run into with proportional representation, meaning a proportionally representative group has a hard time governing. Or
they could have a cabinet that represents these different coalitions. Like, I would love to see a world where we could have Democratic somebody and a vice president from the other party. Wouldn't that be
a great
statement? Yeah. You know,
we managed to
feel bipartisanship. Yeah.
So anyway,
all right.
You know, so where is it all going? I don't know. But
I don't
either. Tweaks. By the way, one thing I learned is though some details are unsettled. As it stands right now, basically City View, the Cambridge Municipal Television Station, will be the only ones actually at the senior center covering the
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't yet heard the full explanation, but, you know, I'll be in a
They can't have that many people in that one space. You can't have CCTV and everybody with interviews and stuff.
I agree. Yeah. So I think CCTV, you know, because they've asked me, you know, what role I want to play in here, we may do something out of the
CCTV. It's election night, our night?
It would be, yeah.
Is that too? Yeah. Oh, it is. We have a show that night? Yeah.
We might as well, because honestly,
I forgot
no
about
conflict.
That.
Yeah.
That's true. I don't care.
Yeah. But anyway, how we're actually going to do the coverage this year, who knows? It'll be different, you know.
Well, I won't be part of it. That's fine.
Right. Well, hopefully this will be the last year of sort of COVID rules, and maybe in the future, you know, we can, you know, have a freer hand at some of that, you know.
Okay.
So, you know, we'll see.
All right, we have 4.5 minutes left, so we should, what are we going to cover? We should talk a little bit, like, there were two council meetings since we last met, but I think last night, I don't know which were more, I'm trying to remember even what happened at the fourth. There was also a public safety meeting, which I watched.
I haven't been sort of tuning into too many of those. Sort of
I've been trying to keep up with it.
You know, one thing I think, you know, though I can only give kind of from some partial thing because, you know, I'm having some internet issues here, but I think I am going to at least do a little switch over here just for during our last few minutes here.
Yeah.
Before in the first segment here, just to speak a little bit about the COVID numbers. We've been doing really great, and I think we're still doing really great. But I do want to mention that, you know, in the last week or something, our numbers have ticked up a bit.
Yeah.
Right. You know,
more indoor stuff. I don't know.
I think it's a combination of you let your guard down. You've done a lot of big public events, you know, baseball games including. You know, and, you know, so as a result, you know, we've been in single digits for a long time, but as of today, we popped up to 10.3. So we are now officially over the 10 mark again, it's the double digits. So,
what are you talking about? 10.3? What are you talking about?
Meaning the 7-day average of new infections.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, so again, it's in the past, we have certainly had ups and downs. And I'm actually reasonably confident that this will then start coming down again. But, you know, I think it is at least worth acknowledging the fact that, you know, the nice, you know, ski slope straight down is on pause for a short while. So, you know.
Have you gotten your booster shot, Rob?
I have not done my booster shot, but they do recommend a 6-month period between.
Oh, yours wasn't 6 months? Shot.
Tomorrow will make 6 months.
Oh, so, that's right. I forgot you're younger than
I. So I may actually sort of go for that very soon. Yeah.
Good. Okay.
Perhaps a few other things sort of mentioning about city council last night. One was that
quickly, we have a couple
Yeah, no, we'll just go kind of quick.
We'll continue with,
Yeah, one of the items that came up was had to do with Carl Baron Plaza. There were the communications, there were like 37 letters from people basically saying,
it was like a petition almost, not a.
It was written kind of like a petition, but basically saying that, you know, we weren't included, and we're the ones who hang out in Carl Baron Plaza all the time. And the city's making some plans for redesign of, you know, in the heart of Central Square, which is true. They are, you have some plans there. And by the way, some of it is driven by the fact that they are obliged to put in a separated bicycle track that'll kind of run along the edge there, which fundamentally changes the nature
and reconfigure the bus thing, everything.
Exactly. So it's a major change, to be sure. Right. And they I don't know if they've settled on one of their two pretty interesting designs.
I looked at the latest last night from July, and it looks like the ribbon sculpture is sort of
Is that what's where they're leaning towards? Yeah. I actually like that one, but so some of the folks who are there, and by the way, there are people who I know who are regulars there, who are friends, anybody tries to put that population into a tidy little box to say they are the unhoused or that they're substance abusers or anything else.
But isn't it all of the above?
It is all of the above, you know. But to listen to Councilor Zondervan at the council meeting last night, he made it out as though the only people in Carl Baron Plaza are the quote unhoused.
The homeless, but also they should get everything they want, kind of. I don't know.
Right. And it, you know, I think that there's we already do quite a lot, long actually there. Yeah. But but you know, I always say when you're doing any kind of design of public spaces that you should plan for the space you want, not the one you think you're
also it's going to be for everybody.
And it is for everybody.
Okay. All right. We have